Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonsigli. You're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. We got a lot of racing talk about this morning, but I have a very special guest calling in. Hopefully he has enough phone charge. Her name is Ms. Virginia, United States. That's not her name, but that's her title. Brianna Terry. So as soon as we can get her on, hopefully she can get her phone plugged in a little bit. And we'll be able to talk to her. We won't keep her on too long, but she's got to save her battery. So get right to her, and here she is right now. I'd like to welcome to the show one and only Miss Virginia, United States, Brianna Terry. Brianna, how you doing?
Hey.
Congrats on the line.
Hi.
Battery a little low, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, you know, we met in a strange place, I guess. Someplace you don't expect to see a beauty queen at. And
yes,
we happen to work together on different shifts. So, how did you ever, I mean, you know, has this been a lifelong thing to become a Miss Virginia or even Miss United States, or like, or is this just something to say, hey, let me give a shot at that, and lo and behold, you kept on winning?
Well, I started probably when I was in middle school doing pageants, and I quit after high school, and then one of my best friend's daughter came down with cancer. They ended up having a benefit pageant for her, and they asked me if I would want to do it. So at 25 years old, I decided to come back, do one more pageant, and then I ended up keep going. And then I seen that they were having a Miss United States pageant, and I decided to do a preliminary pageant, which is like your county pageant, and I won it. Then I went on to state and ended up winning state. So...
wow.
Now, I'll leave and go to Miss United States Friday.
Yeah, we're going to miss you up at the sweatshop area.
Yes.
Well, the good news is it's a holiday weekend, so you won't miss too much time there. And you get to compete. You're going down to Orlando for the national event. Do they have them, like, in different places every year? Is this a standard place?
Last year they had it in Las Vegas, and this year they chose Orlando.
Well, that's a lot closer, and I'd say it's a little cooler than Las Vegas this time of year. Now, when are you crowned Miss Virginia, United States? Because, you know, I think it's only 1 year, so were you crowned this year and go into next year, or was it like late last year to later on this year?
I got crowned in April, so I will crown the next Miss Virginia United States.
Now, where is the state pageant usually held? I mean, you're from a small town in the middle of the mountains. You're basically a mountain girl, and you're on a prominent stage now. And how did that all come to be? And where do you have to travel just for... they even win the state title. I mean, they don't hold it in downtown Whitfield.
Yeah, the state title, they normally have it in Roanoke, which ain't that far from us. So I traveled April 6th, I believe, to Roanoke and spent the whole weekend there and ended up getting crowned on April 7th.
Oh, cool. So you have plenty of time left to... have your reign, and if you become Miss United States, now do you get to keep both titles, or do they have to pick a new Miss Virginia real quick?
You will get to keep both titles, but you would only be allowed to represent the Miss United States title.
Well, yeah, you'd want to become the big one and represent that one want to win. How cool would it be if you, you know, you were called up and crowned Miss United States?
I think I would be in shock. I mean, I'm still in shock about state. And every time I walk in my bedroom and see my sash, I'm like, is this real? Did this really happen? So I think for me to win Miss United States, I'd probably be in a deeper shock.
Crown you have for Miss Virginia is pretty good size. Do you get like a bigger one for Miss United States, or is it just basically the same thing? Because I'm sure you get to keep that once you get to keep the crown as well once your name, you know, because you'll be on stage crowning the new one, because that's usually how it works. You get to keep the one you got?
Yes, you'll get to keep the crown, and they come up with the same design but in a newer way each year. So, and then when I go to Miss United States, it'll look like the same design, but it'll be just bigger.
Then they give you a one. Now, what do you have to, I mean, what the, when you go to the Miss United, like I know how Miss America pageants work. You got the swimsuit, the talent, the evening gown. Then they ask you a bunch of questions, hoping you say something to get yourself and pick one you about. What the Miss United States or Miss Virginia pageants the same way?
It's pretty much the same. We'll have you, we'll have swimwear. We have a runway competition, but the runway is just for fun. Then we have our gown and an opening number, which is where we will do a dance together, all 52 girls on stage.
Wow. Now, what is your talent?
Right now, I don't have a talent because we don't have that portion in this United States. But I would probably go with probably I was in color guard, so I'd probably do something along with that, or probably dance. And
now that's pretty good. So you're in the color guard. I used to be a band member in high school, played the sousaphone. Well, some of my friends were in the color guard and majorette, so that's pretty cool. I mean, to go from a small town, because basically you told me where you live, and I wasn't sure where it was at, and you had to explain what it was close to, and the only way I figured it out. And I think where I live is a pretty tiny area too, so just to be getting to where you've gotten to, it was a pretty big deal.
Yes. Yeah, I never thought a town girl would make it this far, but I'm there.
You're there. That's pretty neat. And fortunately, I happened to run into you and get to know you a little bit. Hopefully, we'll get to know each other better. This way, if you want to promote something, well, other than, so basically, you're prepping up for the Miss United States pageant. You're heading this Friday. You got to do some, get all your preparation. Are you going to be driving down or flying down?
I chose to drive down just because I was afraid if I flew that my address or something would end up getting lost. And if I'm in Orlando, Florida, I will not have the time to go buy another dress.
No, because you got to go and find it and then have it all taken care of and fitted and all that. Even though you could probably fit into anything.
So a lot of work that goes into our dresses. We do like two fittings, so I will leave probably Wednesday or Thursday and go have my last fitting for my dress. And hopefully everything goes good and I can bring it home and then get it all packed up to go to Orlando.
That's cool. Well, I'm rooting for you to win, so I just say, I know her. We got to get a picture together, though, so I can put it up in, you know, with your crown. If you happen to notice, when I first met you on Facebook, one of my memory pictures that came up, which of me with Miss America 2005 at Dover International Speedway. So that was kind of weird. That memory came to pop in. And if you want to go back to my Facebook page and look at it, you'll see how dorky I look. It'll give me a good laugh for the ride down. But anyway, I could add you to the list of beauty queens that have appeared on Garage Talk Live. So there's not too many, and obviously glad to have met you in person and glad to have you on the show. So we wish you the best of luck in Orlando. Have some fun, and will it be televised? Let's get this out of it. Will it be televised? Can I watch it on TV somewhere?
I think that they are going to end up posting it on a webpage as it appears. They haven't really clarified it yet, so as soon as I know, I will let you and your viewers know.
All right. Well, you have my Facebook info, and you have my card. That's my cell number, so if you want to text it, you could text it that way, and because sometimes it's cheaper to use that than being online, unless you've got a Wi-Fi somewhere and use up your data, save that for more important stuff. Well, I'm going to let you go. This way you can finish what you're doing, and probably see you tonight.
Thank
at the pool.
You.
All right. It's a pleasure having you on, and have a good weekend. Enjoy. Let's come
thank
back
you.
With a win.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Alrighty, bye-bye. There you have Ms. Virginia, United States, Brianna Terry. Yes, I work with her at my day job, which I will go to after this. She comes in at 11, I go home at 11, so it's just kind of weird. We met each other in a transition last week, and you can add her to Garage Talk Live guest. Like I said, we had Miss America on. Miss New Jersey was on. Was actually in studio with me back at the old WNJC days. And we had a power pageant, a beauty queen power chat. Miss America 2008. This was the 2008 when Miss New Jersey was in. She was in. We had Miss America and Miss Delaware on the phone at the same time. So I just sat back and listened. It was like a reunion of sorts because they had just competed. The Miss America pageant is in September. It was still in Atlantic City, and they had moved it off to Vegas for a while. Now they're back in Atlantic City, their home. Who knows? Now having Miss Virginia on, come into it, the different places you come into that. So if you're living in your basement, get on out of there. The United States National Pageant Series, where this comes out of, is based in Bristol, Virginia, which is right next to Bristol, Tennessee, where they actually have auto racing, which is where they were just at not too long ago. NHRA was down there a couple weeks ago, and NASCAR was down there before that. And speaking of NHRA, I wanted to get a little bit about racing, but her phone was dead. We're about to die, so we didn't want to drain her battery out. Hopefully she was able to get it plugged in. She's young. They live on their phone. But I live on mine, too, when I'm not young. So, we'll try to have her on again. I was more worried about her battery going south. She's got more important things to deal with at this time, getting ready. So I hope she wins. That'd be awesome. Nothing like having a beauty queen that you get to know. So, anyway, that being out of the way, Let's get on with the show. Well, let's head on out to Norwalk, Connecticut, for the NHRA. Was in action, as a matter of fact. I saw where they're looking to shorten the Pro Stock Series from 24 races to 18 to, I guess, money and promotion, which there is a lack thereof. There always is the Top Fuel and Nitro get all the big stuff. They call the factory Hot Rods, which is actually the facilitator of the Pro Stock. They actually looking to get their race shortened, so that makes it kind of tough. They normally run the full schedule with Top Fuel. And we'll have to get Erica on so you can tell us a little bit more about it, being she's right there. But they were at the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Nationals in Norwalk, Ohio. She wouldn't think it's Connecticut, but it's Ohio. And in the Top Fuel category, off against Doug Pallitta. Pallitta making it to the finals. He was the number one qualifier. Had lane choice in round one with a 374 over Troy Buff, who was the 16th qualifier. Dispatched him. He got off the light rather quickly, but Buff had a problem with his tires and got down there in 8 seconds for Pallitta in 374. And then he went up against Sarge, Tony Schumacher, who is the number four qualifier. She's been on fire, but not of late. After winning a few times early, I guess everybody tuned up to find it. But she did make it to the semifinals against Pallitta. Now, Torrance, on the other hand, went up against Troy Coughlin. Torrance qualified number three. And then Clay Milliken, who won the week before down at Bristol, looking to repeat. But 379 for Torrance over 387 for Milliken set the stage for Torrance to face Brittany Force. Brittany had some issues. Torrance with a 375 gets into the finals, where his 0.51 reaction time versus Kalita's 0.62 gave him the whole shot win, because Torrance's ET was actually a 374 and Kalita was a smidge quicker at 373. So Torrance takes the win. T of the weekend was 373. Lowest ET of the day was actually Doug Pallitta in that final round with a 373. And best reaction time off the light was Terry McMillan, who basically was an 0.36 in round one, had the whole shot over Sean Langdon. He ran a 380 versus Langdon's 387. And the top speed was Doug Pallitta. As actually Steve Torrance in that final round, 331.45. Pallitta was a 331.36, so 1/10 of a mile an hour quicker. It doesn't sound like much, but you're talking 330 miles an hour. It's pretty impressive, you know. They're only running 1,000 foot. They shortened Nitro from quarter mile to 1,000 foot years ago for safety reasons, and they're still, I mean, look at these times. Quarter mile is only 1230. That's another 230 feet. That'll give them that little extra slowdown time. before they hit the gravel that's at the end of the track. I mean, once the parachutes and the track runs out, there's gravel. On to Funny Car. Fast Jack Beckman gets the finals against John Force Racing's Robert Height. Height, the number two qualifier, came in at number nine, just below the middle of the pack. But sometimes it doesn't matter where you qualify. It's whether you can get through the first round and work your way down to the final. Robert Height had some tough competition. Jim Campbell in round one, Alexis DeJoria in round two, and then facing Bob Tasca in the semifinal. Tasca, who doesn't run many races, he's been running the last two, and he's one of the only two Ford power drivers in Funny Car. And won't have any in the top fuel, and they don't run any in pro stock. So Bob Tasca and Tim Wilkerson are the only two Ford drivers. CRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. Now, if you go to lower classes, people build their own cars. They don't have any factory sponsorship. And it used to be Tasca, Wilkerson, and John Force Racing. They pretty much supported each other as far as who did what, and they pulled out, which I don't understand why. They still run in NASCAR and came out with a Ford GT to run road racing and sports cars, but no more drag racing. And of course, I guess all the money they're sinking into NASCAR, they decided to save a little bit. But it was weird when John Force Racing had to go to the rival Chevy, and Castrol, which was Force's main sponsor, pulled out. In the other semis, Jack Beckman, Fast Jack, went up against Connie Johnson Jr., who he faced off with in the finals the past weekend at Bristol. Of course, Jack Beckman and Tommy Johnson run for Don Schumacher. Robert Height runs for Force. So Height got past Jim Campbell in round one, Alexis DeJoria in round two, Bob Tasca in the semis, where it was the other way around last time, up against Beckman. Beckman had to go against Cruz Pedregon and then Matt Hagen, Tommy Johnson Jr., who's his teammate. They all run for Don Schumacher. Then the finals, 0-53 for Height off the tree to Beckman's 0-60, but tire smoke and a blown cylinder didn't get it done. Beckman with a 4.073, 311.85 miles an hour, takes the Wally. Robert Height with the lowest PT of the day, 391. Tasca with the best reaction time, with an 0.042. And top speed, Robert Height, 329.75 miles an hour. On to the pro stock round. The finals came down to Greg Anderson and Bo Butner, teammate. Anderson, the number one qualifier. Butner, number two. Anderson, who has a lot of wins in the pro stock division and championships, dispatched Mark Hogan by 0.3 seconds on the Alan Johnson, who broke. So it was a single run there. Anderson with a 6.59. And up against teammate Jason Lyon, that would have been a good one. Lyon, 6.58 with a 6. Anderson, 659 with a 9. 014 for Anderson off the light. Here's the kicker. Jason Line, minus 010. Red light. This time doesn't count. Bo Butner, number 2, 076 against Val Smeelin. Win by 2/10 of a second there, up against Vincent Nobile. 008 off the tree for Butner, which is pretty good. Nobile 030, which is good. And anytime you're under, you're 0 something and you're under 5, then you're doing pretty good. You get the 030s. You got a shot at getting down there. But when somebody turns it to 008 and still beats it to the finish line with a 661 to a 668 for Nobile, moves Butner to the semifinals against John Gaidosh. Eric Andrews qualified 10th up against Nobile, her teammate in round 1. Actually would have beat him, but his 020, he had a 659, she had a 658. She hit the red light with a minus 004. She was just a smidge slower. She might have had a perfect light, but qualified, ended her day. It's a shame, too, because she's a friend of the show, and we like having her on. And here's the kicker, Greg Anderson, with a 1 in the finals. 021 reaction time. Pro stock, like I said, that's really good. Bo Butner, 660 ET, slower than Greg Anderson. But with that perfect light, that's right, triple zeros, takes the whole shot win from teammate Greg Anderson and wins the Wally. And standings, Steve Torrance has a 50-point lead over Leah and an 81-point lead over third place Antron Brown. And after that, fourth, Tony Schumacher, 215 points behind, and the gap gets greater down to 10. So they're battling for number 1 going into the U.S. Nationals for the shot at being the top seed in the countdown. In funny car, Ronnie Capps widens his lead over Matt Hagen, 149 points. Jack Beckman, 240 back. Trying to close the gap. Robert Height, who was the runner-up, was 46 behind Beckman. 10-point difference there. It could have been a little closer, but Beckman and Height in the finals. You get 20 points per round win and 10 if you lose. So that's how that gap gets in there. And you get bonus points for qualifying in the top 3. Pro stock. Bo Butner, the points leader over Greg Anderson in number 2 spot. 126 is the gap there. 180 back, young Tanner Gray, who didn't have a good day in Norwalk, so he maintains 30 to 180 back. IndyCar, yes, that's right, IndyCar in action as well. Road America. One of the longest road courses, actually the longest road course that anybody runs on. It's over 4 miles long. Scotty Dixon takes the win in the Kohler Grand Prix Verizon IndyCar Series, 4.014 miles. That's like a country drive, and you know? Usually road courses, I think Sonoma is only a couple miles long. Watkins Glen, about the same. Matter of fact, I can go right to it. 110 laps, 218 miles. So, yeah, a little over 2 miles long. The Glen, I think they'll run 90 laps. But anyway, Scotty Dixon takes the win over Joseph Newgarden. Elio Castroneves came in third. Simone Pagenaud fourth. Will Power is in the fifth spot. Charlie Kimball sixth. Seventh is Eddie Jones. Graham Rahal in eighth. He was out in Wisconsin. Courtney Force was in Norwalk, Ohio, so they were fairly close in distance. Max Chilton takes the ninth spot. Mikhail Alesson rounds out the top 10. Winner's average speed, 123.43 miles an hour, 147 minutes. The time of the race. Margin of victory. This is close. 5.77. One thousandth of a second. So it was a close finish. Usually IndyCar races end with a large gap. Multiple seconds. Sometimes a minute. But there's usually a minute gap between them. Only two cautions for three laps. Hard to believe on a road course, there isn't more. Four lead changes amongst six drivers. In the points, Dixon with a 34-point lead over Simone Pagenaud. Castroneves is third. Takuma Sato, your Indy 500 winner, is fourth. Goes to Newgarden fifth. Power sixth. Graham Rahal seventh. Tony Kanaan. Alexander Rossi ninth. And rounding out the top 10 in points is Eddie Jones, who did get a seventh place finish. Your lap leaders were Castroneves, Newgarden, Dixon, and Charlie Kimball, with Kimball only leading the lap, but Shin led the last 11, take the win. On the NASCAR. Oh, we're still going to do our Daytona picks as well. We're going to Daytona this weekend. So we'll make our picks there. I've got to get into some serious pickings. Series and Xfinity sharing the stage out at the Iowa Speedway. That's Rusty Wallace's track. He owns the track out there. Series kicking off the weekend first. John Hunter Nemechek takes the win. Second week in a row. Good for him. I mean, when they're an underfunded private team owned by his dad, Joe Nemechek, good old front row Joe, remember back in the day? Driving the U.S. Army car. Did get a win. John Hunter takes the win in the Truck Series, giving him the second in a row. Johnny Sauter, second place. Brandon Jones, third. Grant Enfinger, fourth. Noah Gragson takes the sixth spot. Chase Briscoe, seventh. Eighth, Austin Cindric. Ninth, Jesse Little. And tenth, Justin Haley with that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rookies in the top 10. What do I not don't see there? Because they were on the West Coast in wine country. Guys in the top 20. Jordan Anderson, driver of the number one for Tracy PJL Motorsports, and Josh Rayome, driver of the number 50 for Beaver Motorsports. And in 29th, TJ Bell, who used to drive for Make Motorsports, which is where Beaver and PJL used to own. They split up and formed their own team. Christopher Bell won the first stage. Johnny Sauter took the second stage. John Hunter took the last stage, and that's the one that Cobb did not make the field in the number 0 on her number 10 truck, driven by Bryce Napier Bid. I've got to get Jennifer Joe on. It's weird, too. Her husband is a crew chief for another team. You'd think they would work together. But anyway, Christopher Bell led the most laps. He led 99 of the 200 that were run. I mean, that's pretty good. When you think about it, leading almost the first half of the race. But coming up short, I mean, he didn't lead anything after that. And not really something you want to do. You lead half the race. But, you know, that's how things work sometimes. You lead half the race, taking home fifth, you're still in the top 5, but even though you get a chase win, which gives you a playoff point, still trying to figure that out. Anybody else have issues with that? Give us a call, 646-649-1899. We'll take your calls. We've got some time left. In the points, with the win, Christopher Bell leads John Hunter in points, tied off with 2 wins apiece. That's why Bell was first, John Hunter second. And then Johnny Sauter and Kaz Grala, the other 2 Truck Series guys with wins. And then Chase Briscoe, Matt Crafton, who had a difficult day. Ben Rhodes and Grant Enfinger round out the 8 playoff contenders. The only 4 guaranteed are Bell, Nemechek, Sauter, and Grala, because they have wins. If you want to look at overall points, Sauter leads the overall points. But being Bell has 2 wins, he's bumped ahead in the seedings. Winning you're in, most wins through the least wins is how that goes. Now, should Johnny Sauter win the next race, that'll give him 2, tie him in wins, but points-wise, he will bump up to the top spot. Nemechek, in normal points, is in 8th, so that second win helps. It doesn't help much, but it does help. We do have our winner, John Hunter Nemechek, with his dad and crew chief in the media center, but we'll just get John Hunter there.
All right, we are going to continue with our post-race media availability for today's M&M's 200. Presented by Casey's General Stores here at Iowa Speedway with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. We are joined by our race winner, John Hunter Nemechek, driver of the number 8, Farm Alarm Services, Inc., Bromco Equipment Company, Chevrolet. John Hunter, 2 in a row here. Tell us how it feels.
It feels really good. This is unbelievable for sure. We knew that we were going to have a good trip this weekend running here last year. We led laps last year, qualified on the pole, just didn't finish it out like we needed to. So we were coming back here and looking for some redemption. And we had to work on it all night. The truck wasn't the greatest from the start of the race. The track kept changing a lot. So I had to give feedback to Dad, Jerry, and Lonnie on top of the box so they can make the best call on what we were going to do adjustment-wise. And there were certain parts of the race where I really didn't know what I needed in order to go faster. I didn't know if I was giving the correct feedback, and somehow it all worked out. The last strategy call, taking four tires instead of two, there at the end, we kind of had that strategy. If a caution came out towards the end, we were going to come no matter what and no matter who came, just because tires were such a big factor. And restarting fourth there, pushing Johnny into turn one, I was kind of in the catbird seat. So I can't thank Fire Alarm Services enough for coming back on board, not knowing if we're going to be able to get here from last week. We put a lot of hours in at the shop this week, working and still turned around. And we got it here and got it done.
All right, and that's up for our race winning crew chief, Jerry.
There you have John Hunter Newcheck. Of course, Johnny Sauter second. He led twice for 72 laps. John Hunter only led once for six, and that was the important six, the last six of the event. And, of course, B 97.5 miles an hour, 0.49. Margin of victory 1.6 seconds, 1 hour 47 minutes. It's a 7/8 mile, paved trioval. So they ran 200 laps on a 7/8 mile oval versus IndyCar, which ran that long on a 4 mile road course and half the distance. But anyway, with the win, it was Hunter's fifth victory in the Camping World Truck Series. So we got only 5-2 in a row this year, so they're getting something done right. In the Xfinity Series, William Byron takes the win. Led 5 times for 78 laps. Christopher Bell was your big lap leader in the 250-lap race. Led 3 times for 152 laps. Won the first stage. Second stage was won by Brendan Gaughan. Brendan, and he finished 26th, though. A few laps down. Well, he must have taken that win in stage two and then had problems after that because started 16th, 10 spots behind where he started, which isn't good. Ryan Sieg took the second spot. Tyler Reddick was third. Ross Chastain came home fourth. Dakota Armstrong fifth. Michael Annette. In the sixth spot, Jeremy Clements, seventh. Good run for Jeremy. Usually he's an individual on the team. So he, his family runs out. He had some, usually get some help from Childress. RCR's engine things. Elliot Sadler was eighth. Justin Allgaier, ninth. Garrett Smithley rounds out the top ten. Names I haven't heard of. Quinn Houck. 12th place finisher. It must be local guys. And in there, we did have a 40-car field. Morgan Shepherd did make the field, completed 16 laps, left with vibrations, and Jeff Green with electrical problems finished in the top, in last place. Spurbell led stage one. Didn't have that good a day. Finishing 16th after leading over half the race. So I said, Brendan Gaughan. Another guy faded laps down. Bell at least finished on the lead lap. Brendan Gaughan finished one lap down. With the win, William Byron claims his first victory in the Xfinity Series, and you just say he's a rookie. Driving the number 9 car. There were 9 cautions for 65 laps. 11 lead changes amongst the 6 drivers. Well, you don't get too many when one guy leads 152 out of 250 laps, and that only leaves 98 for everybody else. 78 of those was by your winner. See if we have our race winner. No, Sam Hornish. Here we go. William Byron. We do have some audio of him. Here's William.
We are going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's American Ethanol E15 250 here at Iowa Speedway. We are joined by the crew chief for the race-winning car, the number 9 Exalta Windsor Windows and Door Chevrolet, David Ellen. David, why don't you just take us through what it was like on the pit box to bring William to win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series?
It was definitely an interesting way to get the win.
I got to check these. I want to hear the crew chief. I want to hear the winner. Bring on the winner. But anyway, series out on the road for the first time this year. I had picked Truex to win. Truex took stage 1. Looked like he was in the catbird seat there. Wound up blowing an engine. Finished 37th. The only one who finished below him, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., due to a wreck, in 38th, did not have a full field. Stage 2 winner, Jimmy Johnson. Truex led the most laps, 110 run, led 25 of them. But leading 24 of those 110, which is the second most of the event, eventual winner, who led twice for 24 laps, Kevin Harvick, brings one home for Stewart Haas Racing. Remember, this race was won last year by Tony Stewart, which got him into the chase. Back then it was the chase. This year it's the playoffs. Driving the number 14. Now, I did not pick Kevin, nor did I pick Clint Boyer, who is driving the number 14 since Stewart got out of the car. So what does Boyer do? He didn't lead a lap, but he did come home second. And they're both driving Ford. So whenever you have a manufacturing change, there's a lot that comes into play. I mean, the only Stewart Haas driver that won this year was in a Ford at the Daytona 500, Kurt Busch. Well, Kevin Harvick does get the win. Matter of fact, first win of the year locks him into the playoffs as well now. So, and then Clint Boyer with the second spot. Brad Keselowski came home third. Denny Hamlin fourth up. These were top finishing guys last season. And maybe I should have went with one of those. But like I said, manufacturing changes. You got top 3 guys in Fords. A good day for Ford in the Cup race. Harvick, Boyer, and Kez. Hamlin, the first Toyota. Kyle Busch in the 5th spot, the second Toyota. Then Dale Jr. finished in 6th. 7th, Kurt Busch, another Stewart Haas driver. 3 in the top 10. Chase Elliott in a Chevy. In the eighth spot, Ryan Blaney, last week's winner at the Pocono, in the ninth spot. Rounded out the top 10, Jamie McMurray. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Fords in the top 10. 2 Toyotas and 3 Chevys. That's what NASCAR likes balance. They don't care who wins or loses. They say they just want all the manufacturers, a little tongue tie there, in the top 3. Kevin Harvick wins the save mark in his 36th Monster Energy Cup Series victory. His first at the track. And he's from the California area. So 6 cautions for 12 laps, 13 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. It was pretty competitive. Margin of victory under caution. So there was no race back to the flag, but road courses, they run things a little different. So Johnson leads the points, because he has 3 wins. Kyle Larson second, Truex third, Keselowski fourth, each have 2. And then you have Harvick, Blaney, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, Ricky Stenhouse, and Dylan in that are locked in. Joey Logano is not locked in, even though he has a win due to failure of post-race inspections. They penalized him hard for that one. And then in with those in this order is Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and with the third place win, Clint Bowyer climbs to the 16th spot. Here is our winner, Kevin Harvick.
I can have your attention here in the media center and upstairs in the deadline room. We are now joined by today's race winner, Pro Series West, Carneros 200, and that is none other than Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Fields Ford. Kevin, this is your 8th win in NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West history, your first since 2007. How good does it feel to come back home, come back to your roots, really, and have a great day like this?
Well, it always feels good to win, no matter what it is. But you know, the main objective was to come have fun, shine a little light on the series, and just, you know, like the race today with Will, you know, to shine a little light on how much talent is in the series. They had a great field of cars. You know, this particular series did a lot for me, and to come back and be a part of it and see the health of it and see the young guys racing was really the main objective. Obviously, like I say, it's fun to win, but it's really about all the publicity and all the things for the series as we came into the week, and you know, for us to have a new sponsor in front of your home state fans, and it's been a long time since I raced in this particular series here, but it was a fun weekend.
It was a fun show indeed. If you have a question for Kevin, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Davian.
And we'll cut it there because we're about out of time, so I want to get to Daytona. Kurt Busch did win the Daytona 500. Blaney with a second-place run. Allmendinger. Yeah, you have to take it as it looks. So I know Kurt Busch won the Daytona 500. That doesn't mean he'll win the Coca-Cola 400, Coke Zero 400, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Trevor Bayne in the 6th car. So anything can happen. That's a tough one to call. Stenhouse did good there. Stenhouse won Talladega too. So, let me see how he did. Qualified 23rd though. Let's take another look there. Yeah. Logano led in the Coke Zero 400 last year. Logano led not much this year. I mean, your biggest lap leaders are Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott. That's pretty spread out. I'm going to go with like I said, this is tough. I'll go with the. I don't know who I'm going to go with. Where did 500? And going towards the bottom there, so it tells me he got gathered up with an accident, yeah. Qualified seventh. I'll go with the K-Man. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. So how's that? Anyway, that's it for today. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I'm Vince Bonvigli, your host. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Ms. Virginia, United States, Brianna Terry, for joining me. We'll see you all next week. It's all 4th of July weekend. Next week's show might be on, will not be on Tuesday. Check my Facebook page. I'll post it on Twitter as well, because that's 4th of July, and I will be in a hot dog eating contest. So we'll see you all next week. Check it, our Facebook page and Twitter. And I might go with it on a Wednesday. Who knows? Maybe I'll go Monday night. You never know. Anyway, have a good weekend. Don't get hurt. Be safe. Enjoy America's birth. I sure will. See you all next week. Good day and good racing.